You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Tuesday, Pacers fans, and welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we, of course, talk about the Indiana Pacers, the 2-0 in the bubble Indiana Pacers, as always. My name is Tony East. I cover the team for Forbes, the West Indianapolis Community News, and the Fieldhouse. Today, we're talking about the 2-0 Pacers who took down the worst team in the bubble, the Washington Wizards, handily earlier today. Then we're going to talk about tomorrow's game, the Magic. The Pacers only back-to-back in the bubble, could not have come against two more preferred opponents. So I think I'm going to start with some thoughts from the Wizards game in general. The Pacers win 111-100, and then I want to talk about how in this game, for the first time I noticed the loss of Sabonis, you know, less so in the Sixers game just because of Warren going off, but I think some of the holes in the Pacers popped up a little in this Wizards game, and then third segment we'll talk Magic. So the Pacers win 111-100. They didn't actually play that awesome, but the Wizards are bad. They're the easily the worst team in the bubble. They're on a back-to-back. They did not do much well, so the Pacers were able to get by without the greatest game ever played. Once again, carried by Mr. TJ Warren, who is just on a ridiculous tear right now. Follows up his 53-point performance on Saturday with a 34-point performance in this one, including a monstrous second half, as well as 11 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals, and 4 blocks. I mean, he's just been so ridiculous. The only problem is he played 39 minutes ahead of a back-to-back, but I mean, he's just... This is the best player I've ever seen in a Pacers uniform, or since I've been, you know, covering the team for sure. And I mean, this is two games, but he just looks ridiculous. And that was an exaggeration, the thing I just said. But you know what I'm saying? Like, he just looks unstoppable. And he missed a bunch of threes in this game. Like, he just couldn't be stopped inside the arc. The Wizards had no answer. Warren really carried them to victory because only one of their guy was really sensational in this game, and I'll talk about him in a second. But another guy I wanted to talk about who made his debut for the bubble restart, Malcolm Brogdon, returned. Oladipo did not play because it was a back-to-back. McMillan said pregame that he expects Oladipo will play against the Magic. I think that's strong language that suggests that we will see Depot tonight against Orlando. But Brogdon did return. He talked about his neck stiffness, but he was ready to go. This time, 20 points and 6 assists, 7 rebounds in his first game. Pretty good box score stats. Didn't finish plays particularly well, right? Got into the lane, but missed some of his mid-range shots. Didn't finish awesome at the rim. Missed some threes, but hit all 6 of his free throws, so ended up being a decently efficient game. Actually, the Pacers made every single free throw they took in this game, which was a big reason they were able to go on some of their bigger runs. But Brogdon looked pretty good, you know, dictating some offense, had some nice dimes to Miles especially. He still played well, but just not the most efficient game, something that he's been trying to recapture as he has to handle the ball more. But the guy next to him in the backcourt, Aaron Holiday, continues to be a shining star alongside Warren. I think, honestly, Warren and Aaron Holiday were the only two guys that you can just enhance and say they for sure played good in this game, and probably Jakar. But Aaron, I mean, just a game away or removed from, you know, playing the opposite guard spot, the one guard, alongside Depot. This time he's two alongside Brogdon. So he's not asked to pass as much, only 2 assists, but just looked really good again. 17 points on 7 of 12 shooting, had some really nice buckets, nice pull-up mid-rangers, played really solid defense too. I mean, in general, the Pacers' point of attack defense was pretty rough in this game. Ish Smith, Shabazz, Napier, Troy Brown were getting into the paint at will. They just were struggling to stay in front of ball handlers, but Aaron played a pretty good game overall. He's been the best guard on the Pacers through two games, and they've really needed someone to step up. It's not like Brogdon and Oladipo have been bad. They've both been good players. They will continue to be good players. It's just that they're both, you know, coming off of injuries and rusty and not shooting the greatest. Aaron, meanwhile, has been a very steady hand and a very good scorer. So him and Warren really carrying the team on offense two nights in a row. And the bench was not as good, right? They didn't have the McConnell they had the first game, which is another factor that makes me think that Aaron Holiday was super important in this game. So good for those two guys. And again, Jakar played well again. He continues to be a shining light as the backup center. Great defense, 8 points. Had some troubles with Thomas Bryant's size, but overall played a really nice game. I've been so impressed with him. But Goga seems like he's close. Keeps being listed as questionable on NBA injury reports. Nate McMillan seemed to say he's practicing and could be ready to go soon-ish, if that makes any sense. So we'll see when Goga comes back, but Jakar's doing a nice job as the backup center. Everybody else, nothing really noteworthy that I want, like, good or bad, except for two guys I'll bring up next segment, which is Doug McDermott and Justin Holliday. But that leaves Miles. I want to talk about Miles. Miles Turner this game, 17 points, 9 rebounds. His counterpart, Thomas Bryant, finishes with 20 points and 11 rebounds. Some of Bryant's points came with Jakar, and like I just said, Bryant's defense was atrocious, which let Miles do some good stuff. Miles did play a good game on offense specifically. He hit 2 threes, which is huge for him. When he's popping, he's still open. I'm surprised they're not hunting that more. He's hit, I think, 3 of his 4 threes in these games and had some nice drives. So something he talked about with me that I think I said with Adam on yesterday's show is, you know, something he likes about when he's the lone center is that he's guarded by a center, so he can make a play where he catches and attacks the slower-footed big man. He did that a few times this game, had 2 or 3 dunks. So his offensive game was pretty good. His defensive game was a little weaker on Bryant specifically. He still did a good job, you know, with pick-and-roll coverage and stuff like that. He had 2 blocks. So he played a good game, and this is just more evidence that he can do well with this team as the lone center, as long as he's not against a guy who just has the ball a lot in the low post, who's going to outstrength him. And there's no Drummond in the bubble. Embiid's basically, again, like me and Adam talked about, the only guy he'll have to deal with who can do that for a while. Vucevic might be the best one. I mean, I guess Anthony Davis, but, you know, they played JaVale and other guys. But Vucevic tonight might be the best guy left at, you know, that kind of stuff. So we'll see how that matchup goes. But I thought Miles played pretty well. Still a few rusty moments here and there for him, but good to see him step up and bounce back, really. He needed it. A 17-point game is solid to bounce back and play well after Embiid just totally destroyed him. But really, you know, not the prettiest game ever. They were 7 of 26 from 3. That's 26.9%. Pretty sloppy. Even rebound battle game. You know, they didn't really show off anything awesome there. They only barely won the turnover battle. The thing that separated them is, one, they shot ridiculous from the free throw line. The Wizards shot terrible from the free throw line, and they were able to get to the rim a lot more because Thomas Bryant's defense was weak. But still, you know, not the prettiest performance in general from the Pacers. The Wizards are worse. So they were able to squeak by and get a win even without Oladipo in this one, which any win without, you know, they're finally, it seems like, against the Magic going to have a fully healthy team. So it's important to monitor touches, but yeah, it was a good win, 2-0. The Heat lost. The 76ers barely beat the Spurs. There was almost a moment where it was a perfect day in the standings for the Pacers, but the Sixers scraped by at the end. So the Pacers still one game ahead of the Sixers, though effectively 2 games ahead, and 1 game behind the Heat now. And since they play them twice, in theory, the Pacers control their own destiny for the 4 seed. Not that it matters because there is no home court advantage, but, you know, if the Heat and Sixers and Pacers all win, well, all the rest of their games the rest of the way, except for the games against the Pacers. The Pacers will be 4, the Heat will be 5, and the Sixers will be 6. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, but good win for the Pacers. Keep going, 2-0. Good start to the bubble. But now, something I just said, they didn't play awesome, and this was the first game I severely noticed something was off without Sabonis, and I want to talk about it. But first, we're going to talk about our new friends here on Locked On Pacers. Talked about them yesterday. The great people at CBDMD, because, like I said, doesn't matter what you do. Stay-at-home parent, professional athlete, a guy in an office chair. Everybody needs some support and some help to make it through the day, and that's where CBDMD comes in, because they have an amazing duo that can help you relax, regroup, and recharge in your chaotic life. They have the CBD Recover, which helps fight inflammation with some really nice compounds that gives you the support you need where it matters most. And they have CBD Freeze that has menthol. It's an award-winning product that has instant cooling relief for muscles and joints, and it's convenient. It comes in a roller or a squeeze tube. It's great. So it's even easier to try out both of those products and everything else CBDMD has to offer. You can get 25% off if you use the promo code MBA at checkout. Go to CBMD.com. Use that promo code MBA for 25% off. Superior CBD oil products, cbdmd.com/M, or use the code MBA at checkout. Okay, so this is just purely small sample anecdotal stuff, but Sabonis is missing. We knew Sabonis in the bench was good, and the bench played good against the 76ers, so I thought, you know, McDermott said earlier in the bubble that he thought they could still be energized, McConnell can keep them going. He can, he's right. Doug McDermott is right. But McDermott specifically and Justin Holliday are two guys that I think are missing Sabonis the most. They were combined 0 for 5 from 3 in this game. That itself is not a huge deal. They're going to make and miss shots. But it's the 5 that is the alarming part. 5 total attempts for those two. And Holliday played 35 minutes. Now, he's with the starters. He's clearly the last option with that group. He will not start, most likely, when Oladipo is back. So maybe he looks a little better when he's moved back to the second unit. But I think we're seeing the biggest difference in the Sans Sabonis. Like, the starters have been fine on off. I mean, some of this has been Warren's just absurdly on fire. Although Warren playing the 4 has looked like an insane offensive player. But, you know, the starters have been fine, maintained pretty well their offense sans Sabonis. The bench has not. And that some of that, I think, this is where you're seeing the lack of the all-star. You know, he gets a lot of his assists through his beautiful two-man game with McDermott, which is just a set in its own. Just throw the ball to Sabonis high post, let him and McDermott do some two-man action. Pagels will get a good shot. That's a good possession. Justin Holliday coming off a screen on the weak side while all that's going on also makes that a great possession, right? Those two guys are really talented offensive players this season because they're really good at playing off Sabonis. That's a high IQ trio. McConnell gets involved there. Now, McConnell can still help those guys, right? In the scrimmages, he was doing a really good job getting into the paint, finding McDermott or Justin Holliday in the corners. That's still the case. He can, like, there are a lot of their shots coming from McConnell still. But this game specifically, I noticed, like, it was really tough for the Pacers to get McDermott the ball. I mean, Justin Holliday, I understand. He only took 3 shots. The units he's playing with, he's just asked to play defense and keep the ball moving, especially because Warren is just taking so many shots, which is totally justified the way he's playing. But McDermott, really, you can tell that, you know, they're trying to do stuff to get him the ball, but teams are really staying with him, really tied off a floppy. He's getting bumped by, you know, guys helping screens and stuff. They don't have Sabonis to get him going, and I think that's going to hurt at times, especially in the playoffs. Someone tweeted at me about this and got me thinking about it, because, you know, if that bench gets slowed down at all, right, if the other team can slow down McConnell, all of a sudden they've got this whole bench not completely neutralized but really impacted, because they just won't have the offense of Sabonis McDermott to get easy buckets to keep stuff going. And now you're really seeing where Sabonis was helpful, was with this group, because they were guaranteed to, you know, I've talked about this, I think, 3rd, 4th podcast in a row, but the second unit being almost guaranteed every game to maintain or outscore the other team in those minutes. I mean, that's huge. That's so helpful to have that crutch, because your starter is supposed to be your best 5 that can outscore the other team or whatever, keep your lead, whatever they're supposed to do. If the bench can help in that cause, that's great. But without that, and now all of a sudden you're looking at the starters have to be better, and they have been. But also, you know, if McDermott is just useless, he's not useless. You know, he's, like I said, guys are chasing him like crazy, bumping him out away from screens, not letting him get into his floppies. He has not been, both of his baskets have been just on cuts to the basket, but he's been cut off from doing that as much. Like, it'll be really hard for the Pacers second unit to get going at a high level if McDermott can't do as much without Sabonis. And Justin Holliday in the same situation. However, I do want to see those two guys in the second unit together again, because we have not seen that since the games restarted, right? We've only seen McConnell with McDermott because Justin Holliday started both games. So I think that could swing things, where I say, okay, you know, with the two shooters, all of a sudden their space opened up again. And there has been moments where Justin's been in with that second unit, but they've been not as plentiful as they are in a normal game. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. Maybe that will make me change my tune. But this game, really, there were just some moments where I thought, oh, man, you know, you really see, I mean, obviously Jakar's not the passer, Sabonis is, but you really see with the absence of that slowed down high post creator that lets their cutters go crazy or lets the pass be opened up, or, you know, a quick 1-2 with McConnell opens up something for somebody else. Like, those just aren't there as much. And we knew that would be the case, but you didn't feel it in the Sixers game. You really felt it in this Wizards game. So I think that's something to monitor going forward. How can they get McDermott going in other ways? And if they can't, you know, how can they get their second unit to be at the level it used to be? Because their starters have been good. They found a way to seamlessly get Aaron Holiday in there. So just something to monitor, especially because it doesn't look like Sabonis will be back for a while. Like McMillan said, he's still a ways away. So we'll see about that, but I think it's very interesting. Now let's talk some Magic. But first, sports are back, baby. And Adam's done all these reads, and I'm psyched to do it because I wanted to say, sports are back, baby. We've been waiting since March, And there's only one thing on my mind to talk about it and bet about it. It's my bookie. Home run, slam dunk, triple overtime game-winning shot all wrapped into one. Best sports betting place. You'll love it too. MyBookie.ag. MyBookie has up-to-the-minute odds for your favorite teams. Start of baseball. Start of basketball. Football's coming up soon. It's the best place. It's easy. You bet, you win, you get paid. Feel good about your team's chances. Go check out the future bets for any sport on MyBookie. Why stop with baseball? Go everywhere. You know, baseball's restart is a very common sport to bet, but you can go NBA, NHL, NFL. It's all there. Join today. MyBookie will match your deposit 100%, and they'll toss you a free $10 MLB future wager. All you got to do is enter the code LOCKEDONNBA when you sign up. Remember, MyBookie terms are simple. You bet, you win, and they pay. The Magic have the best record of any team the Pacers have played in the bubble. They are no slouches. There are three undefeated teams in the East in the restart so far. The Raptors, the Pacers, and the Magic. So that is going to break tonight. I don't know who the home team is in this game. I actually want to look that up. Wouldn't it be funny if the Pacers were the home team against Orlando in Orlando? They are. That is hilarious. So the home team Pacers playing Orlando in Orlando. The Magic are no slouches, though. Like I talked about with Adam on yesterday's show, they've been just pouring it in on offense. 128 they hung on the Nets, 132 on the Kings. Now, I understand the teams I just said are the Nets and the Kings. They are both missing some of their good players, or they're just not good in the case of the Kings. So I understand that it's easier to score a lot of points on them, and the bubble's been pretty fast-paced games with lots of scoring. But, I mean, that's a lot of points, and they've been really finding ways to do stuff with Vucevic. He had 22 against the Nets, didn't even have to play that often. Against the Kings, he finished with 23. He's just a really quality, solid player. He's going to do exactly what is expected of him every game. And I think that's why he's going to be the guy to watch, is the matchup of him and Turner. He's clever, right? He's good in the short roll. He can hit the elbow jumper. He can pass a little bit. 5 assists against the Nets and against the Kings. He only had 2, but still, that's 5 assists in the first game. I mean, that shows what he is capable of. So I think he's an important guy to watch is how can Turner, who is good in the pick and roll, right? He can cover both Vooch and whatever the ball handler is, and that's been a big reason for the Pacers' success against the Magic this season and in past seasons, is that he can neutralize some of Vooch's skill by himself, but you know he's going to have to prevent him from making some shots too, which is the hard part, because the rest of the Magic starting five isn't particularly dangerous in terms of a matchup with the Pacers, right? James Ennis can hit some spot-up threes, but he's not a good dribbler. Augustine, same kind of deal. Good shooter, not really good self-creator. Fournier is a little dangerous. He can get streaky and hot, but one of Brogdon or Oladipo will be on him to shut him down to some effect. And then Aaron Gordon, super athletic, but you know, like me and Adam talked about, you never finish a game and go, wow, Aaron Gordon really lit up whoever. So good player, but not quite the offensive dynamite that everybody thought he would be at this point in his career. So really, if they can hold Vooch, right, the Magic don't have the shooters to really kill you in any other way. They can kind of self-create with some guys. They have a lot of, like, C-minus to C-plus level self-creators, which, again, especially with Fournier, who's notably streaky. The rest of those guys aren't so notably streaky. But if they just all are clicking kind of in the same game, they're going to look good, especially if Vooch is rolling like he has been. But you know, if you neutralize Vooch, you really can slow down that first unit. And the Magic are deeper than people give them credit for, and that's where another reason they've been good in the bubble, right? They lost Jonathan Isaac, which is a big deal. This is their first full game without him, which is noteworthy because he had a bunch of points against the Nets, was playing good against the Kings before he got ripped out of that game. But they've been getting a lot from Terrence Ross, and everybody knows how he does against the Pacers in particular. He had 25 in their last game, was just drilling everything from three. That's exactly what's going to happen in this game, guaranteed. But Michael Carter-Williams, I know he's kind of become a punchline since his rookie year, but he's actually an okay player, good defender, really long. He's almost like a wing now in the NBA. Fultz can really drive. I mean, he can't shoot, but he's quick. He's got skills. Ken Burch, really skilled, can do stuff inside the lane. And Gary Clark's a talented defender, too. Like, they've got specialists or skilled guys with their second unit, which I think is good and makes them a dangerous team. They can really mix and match their lineup. So the Magic are no slouches, and I really think this game's going to be about that. Vucevic stopping their best player seems like an obvious, like, hey, here's how the Pacers can win if they slow down, you know, if they slow down the Magic's best player. But just because he's so crucial to the cog and The Pacers really can match up well with this team, right? You put Aaron Holiday and DJ Augustine, and then you've got perfect size-on-size matchups in these starters v-starters groups. They can slow down Vooch. I don't see the Magic having an easy way to generate points on any given possession. Now, the Pacers on offense, you know, I have barely talked about the Magic on D. The Magic are an okay defensive team, about average. There's some holes in this group, but not, you know, I think it's kind of like their creation skills. They have a bunch of better than that grade, though. They have a bunch of, like, C to B defenders. So, you know, TJ Warren could have a good game, right? They don't really have a great guy for him, and betting on him right now is a very safe bet. Aaron Holiday, again, could have a good game. DJ Augustine, not a notably good pick-and-roll defender. But they're fine. They're fine players. Where you do get the defensive lapses with the Magic, that's where their second unit struggles. Fultz, not great on defense yet. Ross, not great on D. So you can pick on those two guards, create opportunities for the rest of your team. I think McConnell could be killer against the Magic. I know he has been in earlier games this season. I think it's going to be important for him to step up, right? Like I just talked about with the Sabonis not there, the bench kind of struggled in this game against the Wizards. If McConnell can, you know, mitigate some of that by being really drive heavy or being that energy bringer, that creator, that all of a sudden opens up stuff for McDermott and Holiday, then great. The second unit can do really well with just him, but he's got to do it. He's got to get in the lane and create opportunity. So he's perhaps behind Turner, my second guy to watch in this game, because if he can give the Pacers that second unit advantage that they need, I don't see how the Magic starters are going to have a huge advantage. You know, their starters have been playing well in the bubble. There's a reason they're 2-0, but I think the Pacers can match them pretty well. This one's going to be tough, though. I think the back-to-back is hard. Even if there's no travel in between, you know, I like that that's a storyline. I think that's something super interesting about this is, yeah, there's a lot of the troubles with the back-to-back is you get to a certain city at like 3 in the morning, or you get back to a city at 3 in the morning, or even if you're home both times, you get back home late and you have to wake up, drive back to the practice facility, whatever. This time that's not the case, right? You're in one place, not a big deal. I do like that. That has been brought up. I think that is a factor and will certainly help every team that plays in a back-to-back so far in the bubble. I don't think the back-to-backs have had created any crazy results or anything, especially because every team is good. But, you know, it's still a factor, right? There's going to be some level of reduced energy. I think we even saw this in the Pacers' second game. McMillan even said, like, yeah, it's game two and we're not even in game shape yet. Like, it's hard to keep up the energy for 48 minutes and, you know, it's tough that he had to play Warren so long. They were up 20 early in the fourth, and they let the Wizards get back in. He had to play Warren 40 minutes again. That kind of stuff matters. So if this game's close late, the Magic might have some energy advantage they can use to win the game. But it's going to be a good one. It's going to be, I think, a lot closer than people think. Maybe I'm giving the Magic too much credit, but I think they can be a good team. So we'll see. I think it's a pick 'em personally, because the home team is on the road team city. No, I'm kidding. I think it's a pick 'em in terms of just the overall situation surrounding this game. Neutral on neutral, no back-to-back. I'd pick the Pacers for sure, but Sabonis out, and it's a back-to-back. You think you got to give the Magic a puncher's chance because of that. But, yeah, that's today's show. Adam will recap this Magic action tomorrow and talk about any other storylines around the team that pop up. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to check out MDCBD and my bookie, and we will see you tomorrow.